There is a notice up on the notice board, or an invitation on the notice board, about an upcoming so-called dinner that the yeshiva is having, which is basically an annual event which gives us an opportunity to see the guys who learned in the yeshiva in the past years. Part of the unfortunate job that I and Rabbi Loken have to do prior to these events is to go through the list of alumni of the yeshiva, try and contact everybody, try and make sure that we get some type of maximum turnout. And this week I spent some time going, just simply looking at the list, going through the list. And as I was going through the lists, the names, the addresses, the phone numbers, you start thinking about the different guys, what happened to them, and where they got to, and what they're doing. And I noticed something very interesting, which is something which is constantly on my mind and constantly bothers me, constantly disturbs me. And when I was looking through this list, I was thinking about an occasion 2 or 3 years ago when I was in America and happened to end up one particular day in Lakewood, and ended up eating breakfast with a group of guys who had learned in the yeshiva. And all these guys were Yingalite, with 3, 4, 5 guys sitting around the table, and they were Yingalite who had been learning already for a lengthy period of time. These guys have been learning Lakewood already for 8, 9, 10 years. And we were schmoozing. At that point in time, I was very involved in a particular sugya. None of these guys sitting around the table were learning this sugya. It wasn't even the sugya that the yeshiva was learning at the time. It was a sugya that I was learning for myself. And I had a ha'ora, kasha, which I thought was a very good kasha. And I said at the table, let me tell you over the Gemara, let me tell you over my kasha. I told over the Gemara, and I told him over my kasha. And immediately there was a discussion which started, but one of the guys sitting around the table said to me, Rebbe, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, why? And he said, because I can bring you a raya from the Gemara in Nida that what you're saying is Nishan Kasha. And if you don't like that, I'll bring you, and he tells me the raya from the Gemara in Nida. And he says, if you don't like that, there's also a Gemara in Erevin. And he tells me a Gemara in Erevin. And then he says to me, and if you don't like that, then if I'm not mistaken, I mean, I remember, I think there's a Tefas in Menachos which says the following, and Mehmed is Nishkin Kasha. To which my response was, Shalom Aleichem, Meri Rebbe. When I'm looking through this list, I'm thinking, this guy is Shalit, wherever you talk to him. In any Masechta you talk to him, wherever you talk to him, there's a guy who's learning day and night. And I, much younger version of me, personally pulled him out of a bar on Motzi Yom Kippur, so drunk that he had no idea where he was, loaded him in my car, and brought him back to yeshiva. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, in his tkufa, when he was learning in yeshiva, the same period of time when he was learning in yeshiva, there were other guys who were learning in yeshiva with him together. And there were other guys who were putting in the same amount of hours that he was putting in. I'm not talking about the guys, you know, who are registered in the yeshiva, but you actually never see them other than meal times and various other occasions. You know, the guy who turns up to Yom Kippur, this is my seat. You know, talk about that. It's about guys who actually sat in the Beis HaMedrash and learned. And if you add up hours, there were guys who were contemporaries of his who learned the same amount of time that he learned. And yet, ain't a daimer, there's no dimyan. Not because he's sitting and learning in Lakewood, New Jersey, right? And they're balabatim. No, I'm talking about guys who are also sitting and learning, guys who are also b'nei Torah, quote unquote. But it's not the same league. It's a different league. And as I'm going through these lists, I see this time and time again. Another name comes up, and another name comes up, and another name comes up, and I look at it and I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, this is a guy I should stand up for, in terms of where he's at, sign his learning, sign his Yiras Shamayim. He had a chavrusa. And he learned with the guy chavrusa, so they learned the same amount of time. It's not a time issue here. Yet look at him and look at this chavrusa of his. Both married, both with kids, both with families, both with good shidduchim. We'll talk about that. But, so what's the hesba? What turns one guy into one thing? And another guy into another thing, and both of them learned the same amount of hours, and both of them in the same yeshiva, and both of them with the same shurim, and the same shmuz, and the same everything. Where lies the difference? And then I realized it's been bothering me for years, this. What's the key? What's the explanation? What creates a situation where one guy takes off, as it were, and another guy... There's some sod here, there's some secret here. And I think that the answer lies in the first pasuk in this week's parasha. The first pasuk in this week's parasha, Lichura, is a very simple pasuk. V'yedaber Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai leima. Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in Midbar Sinai leima, saying. And Chazal have a problem with this pasuk. Chazal have a problem with the pshat in this pasuk. What is the problem that Chazal have with the pshat in this pasuk? Chazal say that lichura, the pasuk, is telling us something which is totally superfluous and the Torah has no need to tell it to us. The two words in this pasuk, which are miyuta, which are superfluous, b'midbar Sinai. Why does the pasuk have to tell us that this event took place in Midbar Sinai? Everybody knows that they were in the Midbar at that point in time. Anybody who's been learning Chumash until that point in time knows we're talking about being situated in the Midbar. So why does the pasuk have to come along and tell us that they were in the Midbar? Elamai say Chazal and Medrash Tanchuma Yoshan. If the Torah comes along and tells us that they were in the Midbar, and it's superfluous because we know that they were in the Midbar, then these two words in the pasuk of the Midbar Sinai are coming to teach us something. There's a lesson here. There's something being told to us here. What's being told to us here? Say Chazal the following. Mikan, from these two words in the pasuk of Bamidbar Sinai, Shonu Rabbi Seinu. Chazal learned. Bishleisha dvarim nitna Torah. Torah was given in three circumstances. in three contexts: ba'esh, with fire; b'mayim, with water; and b'midbar, in the desert. I heard many, many years ago, going back probably 40 more years, from my Rebbe, Reb Lezer Dvinska, the founder of Gated Yeshiva. He asked a very simple question. He said, from the language of Chazal, it would imply, mikan, that from this pasuk of Bamidbar Sinai, we learn out these three things, because that's what the Bedrash says, mikan shanu. From here we learn out that Torah was given in the context of Aish and Mayim and Midbar. Yet, how does the Medrash continue? The Medrash continues and says, how do we know that Torah was given by Aish? And he goes and brings a pasuk which has nothing at all to do with this week's parsha. How do we know that Torah was given by Mayim? Goes and brings a pasuk which has nothing at all to do with this week's parsha. How do we know that Torah was given by Midbar? Then he brings the pasuk of this week's parsha. So what did Chazal mean when Chazal said that mikan shanu? That all three things were learnt out from here. Bichura. All that we learn out from this pasuk is the fact that Torah was nitan b'midbar. More than that, we can't learn out from this pasuk. In addition, the continuation of the Medrash. The Medrash says, fine, so Torah was given by Aish, and Torah was given by Mayim, and Torah was given by Midbar, so what? Says Chazal, there's a message here. What's the message? The message is, why was Torah given with these dafka, these three things? Elo, to teach us. Water, fire, midbar is available to everybody free of charge. You can put your hands on fire, you can put your hands on water, you can put your hands on midbar free of charge. Kach divrei Torah chinom. So too, everybody can put their hands on Torah. Doesn't cost you anything to learn Torah. You don't have to pay anything to learn Torah. To which the question immediately arises, what do I need three examples of chinom? Eish, Mayim, and Midbar. Surely one would suffice. We could have learnt out the same principle that Torah is b'chinom from either Eish or Mayim or Midbar. What do we need all three for? I'll call upon him. What do we see from the Medrash? We see from Chazal that Torah is free. Anybody wants, come and learn. It's not going to cost you anything. You're not going to have to pay anything for it. You're not going to have to give up anything for it. But then the Medrash continues, and the Medrash, Minei Ubei, contradicts himself and is Saiser himself. Because the Medrash continues and the Medrash says, Davaracha, alternatively, that which the Pasuk comes and says Midbar Sinai comes to teach us, Lomo Bamidbar. Why was Torah dafka given in a midbar? Ela kol mi she'eino eisei atzmei hefka k'midbar. If a person doesn't make himself hefka, like a midbar, eino yochel liknes es ha-Torah. He can't be kind of Torah lekach nemo, therefore it says, b'midbar Sinai. So here what Chazal is saying. Here Chazal is saying, if a person wants to be kind of Torah, you have to pay the maximum price. What's the maximum price that you have to pay for Torah? According to the Chazal, in the continuation of the Medrash, the maximum price you have to pay for Torah is you have to be mafka yourself. So on the one hand, we are being told that Torah is bechinam, Torah is free of charge. You can be kain of Torah without anything. And then the next line, the Medrash says, no, you can't be kain of Torah unless you're mafka atzmai. Not that we know what mafka atzmai means at this point in time. But our kopponim, whatever mafkir atzmei means, it means you're paying a price for Torah. So either you are paying a price or you aren't paying a price. So we have to understand this contradiction, and we have to understand what mafkir atzmei means. There is a Gemara, a sugya in Brachos. There's a sugya in the Sechas Brachos. And the Gemara in Brisechus Bracha starts off with a pasuk Teira Tzivulam Moshe Merasha Kilis Yankev, famous pasuk, right? Which we all should know. Teira Tzivulam Moshe Merasha Kilis Yankev. And the Gemara says, Al Tikru Merasha Elo Meurasa. Says the Gemara, the connection between Torah and somebody who is learning Torah is the equivalent of the connection between a man who does a Maisa Erisin with a woman. Okay? Very nice. The problem is that there's a Gemara in Ksubas. And the Gemara in Ksubas also brings a pasuk, a different pasuk. And the Gemara in Ksubas says, what do we learn out from the pasuk that the Gemara brings there? That the connection between Torah and a person learning Torah is like Nisuin. It's like a man does a Maisa Nisuin with a woman. So we have two sugyas. A sugya in Brachos, which says that the equivalent of a person learning Torah is a man being ma'aris a woman. And we have a sugya in Ksubas, which says that the relationship, the connection between somebody learning Torah is like a person making a nisuin with a woman. Well, either it's Eirusin or it's nisuin. There's two separate things. Anybody who learned the first paragraph of Kiddushin knows that Eirusin and nisuin are two different things. So seeing that we learned the first Perek of Kiddushin, let's try to explain this with Rav Chaim Brisker's Yesod. Rav Chaim Brisker in Sefer Al Rambam in Hilchos Yibamah Chalitza of Yibam says a famous Yesod. What is the difference, says Rav Chaim, between Erusin and Nisuin? Says Rav Chaim, the difference is very simple. Erusin is a Maisa Kinyan. Ha'isha niknis b'shloisha dvarim b'kesef v'shtar v'b'biyo. Erusin is a Maisa Kinyan. The man goes and he's kainer the woman. Equivalent to a man being kainer an apartment, to a man being kainer a car. It's a Maisa Kinyan. What happens after the Erusin? He goes back home. She goes back to Beis Avia. They can't live together. A year goes by. What happens at the end of the year? Says Reb Chaim, Nisuin. Says Reb Chaim, what's Nisuin? Nisuin is not a Maisa Kinyan, says Reb Chaim. Nisuin is a Matzias. It's a fact. A man and a woman start living together. And when a man and a woman start living together, the pasuk says, "Vayu lebasar echad," they become one unit. And this metzias of becoming one unit, which is symbolized today in the concept of yichud, creates nisuin. Eirusin is a maisa akinyan. Nisuin is a metzias of becoming one. There are two dargas in learning Torah. The Gemara in Brachos says that the first darga, the initial darga of learning Torah, is being koine Torah. A person can learn 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 hours a day, non-stop. And he can be kaina a tremendous amount of Torah. Ad kidei kach that he's a baki in shas. That he knows Shulchan Aruch. That he can pask in the shayla. Whereas my Rebbe Rebbe used to say, he's a walking bookcase. He knows everything. As a shaf of this gate of tzvei fees. He's a sfarim shaf, he's a sfarim shank. That's walking on 2 feet. And that's a daga. Because a guy who learns 18 hours a day, don't make it away, don't mach a sadek. Barasi yitzahara, barasi teriyatavlin, it does something, it protects the person, it's something.
But he is him, and the Torah is the Torah, and he was kind of Torah. But he goes back home, and the Torah goes back home. They're two separate individuals. There's a second darga in Limud HaTorah. And the second darga in Limud HaTorah is V'hoi L'Basar Echad. That the Torah cracks the line in the Beinah. That the Torah goes into the bones. That the Torah becomes part of the personality of the person. That the individual is a nursery to Torah. There's a Maisa Nisuyin here. The person becomes a Shtik Torah. He himself is a Shtikl Torah. It's a transformation of a personality. It's not a personality which has been Koine Torah and the Torah is inside him in a box and can be pulled out whenever it's needed. It's not that he pressed a button and it went into a file and he presses another button and he'll put it out of the file when he has a Shaila. He became the disc. He became the Torah. Say Chazal, that's the darga. It's the second darga. It's a completely different darga. That's the darga of being nosui to Torah. The first darga of Eirusin, that's Bechinom. That's free of charge. You don't have to pay anything, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. All you have to do is sit in the Beis HaMidrash, open your Gemara and learn, and I'll help you, and I'll help you, and I'll give you Siyata Lishmaya, and you'll be able to learn, you'll be able to acquire knowledge. The acquisition of knowledge is free. The Torah is the original Wikipedia. It's there, take it, whatever you want, any information you want, take. It's not going to cost you anything. And you're going to become a Yedea Torah. Said my Rebbe. Blaise Zvinsky said, I made a kavod. He said, Eish. What does Eish represent? Eish represents Islavus. Eish is a fire, it burns. Eish represents Zrizus. What does Mayim represent? Mayim represents being laid back. Mayim flows. Mayim's peaceful. There are mitzvahs asay in the Torah. You need Eish. There are mitzvahs leisas in the Torah. You need atzlus. You need to keep back from it. The problem is that we are subjective. We are subjective beings. We are full of negias. We see what we want to see. And this subjectiveness that each and every one of us has inside us blinds us completely. And therefore we don't know when to use the middle of Aish and when to use the middle of mine. And we're constantly, because of our subjectivity, getting it the wrong way around. Where we should be at Slonim with reason, where we should be reason, we're at Slonim. Therefore, Chazal say, Mikan, from these words by Midbar Sinai, we learn out that Torah is Nitam Bechinam Eishan Mayim. It's Nitam Bechinam. But the Eish and the Mayim are useless unless you have the Midbar. Unless you have the Midah of being Mafkir Atzmoika Midbar. If you have the Midah of being Mafkir Atzmoika Midbar, then you know how to use the Eish, then you know how to use the Mayim. But we still don't know what it means to be Mafkir Atzmoika Midbar, other than the fact of somehow removing the subjectivity that we have. One of the prime examples of somebody who was ma'urus to Torah, in the Torah, is Eliphaz, the son of Esav. On the pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Kaftes, of the meeting between Yaakov and Rachel, the pasuk says that when Yaakov met Rachel the first time, he cried. Says Rashi, quoting Chazal, why did Yaakov cry? Say Chazal, Shebocho lefi shebo b'yadayim reikonius, because he had no gifts to give her. As opposed to Eliezer ben Avrom, who came when Yitzchak was to marry Rivka, loaded up with gifts for her. Ask Chazal, why didn't he have anything? Yitzchak was a gevir, Yitzchak had money. Say Chazal a story. Rodaf Elifaz ben Esav b'mitzvahs Aviv lahogoy. The Esav told Elifaz his son, go and kill Yaakov. Ushrefish shegodal Elifaz b'cheikin shal Yitzchak. And because Elifaz grew up on his grandfather's lap, on Yitzchak's lap, which the Mefarshim explain, that Elifaz sat and learned Torah by Yitzchak. He was a Talmud of Yitzchak, of his grandfather. Therefore, Moshach Yodoy, he couldn't do it. He couldn't bring himself to kill Yaakov. Oh my leg! So he turned around to Yaakov. Listen, he turned around to Yaakov, and what did he say? Ma ese letzivu shel abo. What do I do about the mitzvah of Kibbutz? Amalei Yaakov tul mashu biyodi. Take away all my possessions and I'll become an oni. And an oni is defined by Chazal as being like a dead person. And therefore you've been mekayem your Kibbutz vein. Elifaz sat and learned Torah in the Beis HaMedrash of Yitzchak in the yeshiva of Yitzchak. And he's nuchem in order to be mekayem the mitzvah of Kibbutz vein. To kill somebody. Any bad das who just starts to learn knows that there's no justification in killing somebody because of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av. And yet Elifaz takes his father's tzivui, runs after Yaakov, and even though he doesn't want to kill him, but he's bothered by the shaila, what about the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av? Idiot! What Kibbutz Av is there here? There's a mitzvah of Kibbutz Av to kill somebody. Says the Novi Yeshaya, yeah, this is the way it works. Yishoyim Darkei Hashem. Torah is very straight, logical, and rational. Tzadikim Yochu Boy. Ukoishim Yikoshlu Boy. The tzaddik will follow the ashes of the Torah. The Peshaya, the sinner, he is going to fall into the trap. Says the Gemara in Horius, the feeder actually is pshat in the Gemara there. What does this mean? That those Darkei Hashem which are Yeshurim, which the tzaddik can follow, and for them it's Yashrus, in those very things the Poshim are Nichsholim, which is exactly what happened by Elifaz. Kibbutz Avayim is a very straightforward, logical thing. But the Peshaya can be over on the issue of Sritzicha using the excuse of Kibbutz Avayim. Kibbutz Avayim is a tremendous mitzvah. Hushvu Kibbutz Avayim, the cover of Yiddish Mokum. But if a person is only ma'urus to Torah, if the Torah doesn't become part of him, he's just a lay-made Torah, he's acquiring knowledge. Upeshim Yikoshlubo, and he'll come to kill somebody. And that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos. If you grasp Torah with your right hand, Torah gives you life. If you grasp Torah with your left hand, Torah is deathly. Says Rashi, what does it mean you grasp Torah with your right hand? Says Rashi, grasping Torah with your right hand means Oisukim boy bekol chaycham, you're totally involved in it. Ka'odam ha'isa B'yamin shu'eka. Like people do the most important things with their right-handed people do the most important things with their right hand. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, if that's the pshat in grasping Torah with your right hand, then what's pshat grasping Torah with your left hand? Not the guy who never turns up in the Beis HaMedrash. The guy who turns up in the Medrash, the guy who's learning. But it never became a limud of Bekol Koichoi. It never became a limud which was a darga of being married to Torah, nosui to Torah. It always remained on the level of acquisition of knowledge. If it just remains on that level, then Torah is deathly, because you'll take all sorts of teridika reasons and do kol davar also. Chazal say that when Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the Torah, when he got to one pasuk, he turned around to the Ribbono Shel'olam and he said to the Ribbono Shel'olam, I don't want to write this pasuk. The pasuk being, Vayomer Elokim, God said, Nase Adam, we will create a person, B'tzalmeinu K'dmoseinu, in our image and in our form. Omar the fun of Moshe Rabbeinu turned around to the Ribbono Shel'olam and said to the Ribbono Shel'olam, why are you giving an opening for people who want to be happy course? And they'll read the word Nase, we will make. They'll say there are two gods and not one God. Change the wording, says Moshe Rabbeinu to the Ribbono Shel'olam. What does Ribbono Shel'olam answer him back? Omar the Ribbono Shel'olam says to him, Ksav, write it. V'kol ha'reitzel itais. Anybody who wants to make the mistake and misunderstand Yita, he'll make the mistake and misunderstand. Kolareitze, say Chazal. Somebody who's got taivas, and his taivas lead him towards apikosis, he wants to learn pshat wrongly. So he'll learn pshat wrongly, whatever you write. It's not going to make any difference. If a person has taivas, he'll convince himself that the Torah is matter his taivas. And he'll have kuf nun time him. He'll have 150 reasons to explain why the Torah allows him to do what he wants to do. But it doesn't stop there. There is an unbelievable Ramban ala Torah. The Ramban ala Torah says the following. You show him Darkei Hashem, as we said. The Derech Hashem is straight. It's a pasuk in the Torah, says the Ramban, V'osiso ha-yosho v'atoiv. You should do the right thing, the proper thing. Says the Ramban, what does that mean, V'osiso ha-yosho v'atoiv? And V'osiso ha-yosho v'atoiv, says the Ramban, it's not just one mitzvah. Because we find a machlekes in Chazal, that there's a whole machlekes in Chazal as to whether one of the Sforim, which one of the Sifrei Chamisha Chumshei Torah, is called Sefer Ha-yosho. So it's a prime importance, this mitzvah v'asisa yoshev atayv. What is the mitzvah v'asisa yoshev atayv? What is it? Says the Ramban, an amazing yisoid. The Ramban says, Rabbi, so you have to understand something. The Torah could not, says the Ramban, listen carefully, this is a Ramban, this is not me. The Torah could not include every single thing that a person should do. Because otherwise it would be never ending. All the mitzvahs in the Torah, says the Ramban, are no more than tziyunei derech. They're no more than points of indication. They give you an idea of what the Torah wants. When the Torah says, they say for tokum, you should stand up for an elderly person, it doesn't stop there, says the Ramban. There's much more than that. That's just the point of indication, but you yourself understand. But it involves all sorts of other things as well. Says the Ramban, the fact that we find that there's a certain way in which a person should speak, Diburi Benachas, there's a certain way in which a person should present himself, Pirkei Noah. That's all part of the tzivuim of the Torah, even though he doesn't say it mefurish, because there are tziyunei derech in the Torah which show us that that's the way a person has to act and that's the way a person has to behave. Says Ramban, the principle is the following. A person has to ask himself the whole time, am I a Tam and am I a Yosher? That's what you have to ask yourself. If I'm doing this, is it a double Yosher? The Torah that we have, the whole Torah Shemiksav, the whole Torah Shemal Peh, is not enough to prevent crookedness. If we stick to that which the Torah says, Mefurish, we remain crooked, says the Ramban. There's over and above that a lot of other things which create the Yashrus in the person. If you stick to the letter of the law, says the Ramban, you can remain a novel Berishus HaTorah. Lechorv Yerushalayim. Why did Yerushalayim become Chorv? Shemidu Dineyim Al Din Torah. Because they said there's nothing more than that which it says in the letter of the law. That's it. There is nothing more. So when the guy got up and davened Shemoneh Esrei with a cat on his head, and somebody said, turned around to him and said to him, what are you doing? It's pasnished. He said, I went right through Shulchan Aruch. Arachayim Yeridaya Evinu Ezra. Chayshem Mishpat doesn't say anywhere you're not allowed to daven Shemoneh Esrei with a cat in your head. Novel Berishus HaTorah, idiot. There's a certain yashrus which a person has to have. Somebody who's nasui to Torah is someone, says Chazal, who is mafkir atzmoi. What does that mean? That means he gives everything away. Hefka means I give it away to Rishus HaRabim. I come into Torah with a package. And the package is a lifestyle, and the package is a philosophy of life from where I'm coming from. And if you try and stay with that, you can get to the darga of being a ma'uras in Torah, but you can't be a nosui in Torah. Because that package you're coming with is going to totally affect you every time. And every time you're going to say to yourself, I can find a heter for this. Because that's where I am and that's where I'm coming from. To be nasi to tell you, you have to understand that you're going into a completely new mareches of chiyuvim of obligations. You're going into a new, completely new system. And that the Torah is only tziyunei derech, it's only points of indication. But you have to be mafnim. You have to internalize the Ruach HaTorah. If you bring into the Beis HaMedrash with you the lifestyle of the outside, you can know a lot of Torah. You can be very knowledgeable. But you'll always be ma'amid al din Torah. You'll never get further than that. You have to give up the entire perspective that you had beforehand in order to become nosui to Torah. And everything that I just said is a Rambam halacha lemaisa in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam in Perek Aleph halacha ches of Hilchos Talmud Torah starts off and he says, every Jew is mechayev in Talmud Torah. Says the Rambam, how in halacha ches, Perek Aleph, how are you mechayev Talmud Torah? Says the Rambam, very simple. You learn a little bit by day, and you learn a little bit by night. You read to the pasuk of the Gisa Bayom of Alayla, and you've been mechayev Talmud Torah. And the more you mechayev the Gisa Bayom, the more hours that you will learn, a little bit by day, and a little bit by night, you'll be more of a ma'uris to Torah. You'll know more Torah. And Peregimel, says the Rambam, Mi shenasei libu lekayev mitzvah zu karoyu. But if you want to be Mekayim in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Keroyah, as it should be, in other words, the highest Madrega of Talmud Torah, which is Liyais Mukhta Bekesa Torah, you become a new being, you're Mukhta Bekesa Torah. You're a Torahdik person, you're Nasulim Torah, you're married to Torah. Lo Yasiach Daitei Lidvoyim Acherim. Knock out of your head everything you had beforehand. Don't think for a moment. That you can stay with your preconceptions. The money's important. The COVID's important. Or any other type of the person that is important. and you'll be koine teira, v'yikne teira, because if you do that, you'll always remain only an orus to teira. But you should know, says the Rambam, kachi darka shel teira pas v'melech teichal, mayim v'shira tishta, chayetzal tichi v'teira ato omel.
Once heard from Blake Gurvitz, the Chayim of Rochel, Rav Shiva Geita, he said a very interesting expression here. He said, the Rambam is passing the Chazal in Pirkei Avos, right? What does it say? Kachi darkei shel Teira, what's the derech of Teira? Pas b'melach toichal, future tense, toichal. Mayim b'mishura tishta, future tense. Chayetzar tichia, future tense. Ubatera ato omel, present tense. So the Rebbe, everybody thinks that this Maimon Chazal and this Rambam is telling us that if you want to become great in Torah, you're not allowed to be nene from Olam Hazeh. So the Rebbe, not true. On the contrary, the Nozer says the Torah is called a chayta. Why is he called a chayta? Because he was metzar atzmei min hayayim. The Torah doesn't want that a person should be metzayer es atzmei. We're not into this. The Buddhists, the Hindus, they're into this stuff. We don't go to sleep on beds of nails. That's not what Yiddishkeit is all about. The Torah doesn't want that a person should be mitzari himself. Said Rebbe, but what does the Torah want? Pas b'melech toichal. That you should understand in your mind that the package which you came with, which puts such an emphasis on all sorts of things, on what you eat, on where you sleep, right? That world out there. You have to know that the future in front of you is such that it's the exact opposite of all that. And your job now, in the present, is b'teira ato omel, that if you change, if you switch your understanding of life and your understanding of the world and your understanding of yourself, you'll never get to a point where you'll have to eat bread and drink water. Because that's not what the Torah wants. But if you want to be a nasi to Torah, if you want to become one with Torah, if you want to turn into a Torah-dika person, then you have to be mafki yourself. And mafki yourself means getting rid of everything that in the world you're coming from plays a role. Rabbi Sai, we're holding a week before Shavuos. Shavuos is Kabbalah Sateira. The Ramban said a Meridiki aside here. It's not what's muta and what's osso, that's not what it's all about. Get it into your heads. It has nothing at all to do with what's muta and what's osso. Because if you follow the muta and you follow the osso, you can very easily become a novel brishus ha-teira, but you will remain your entire life an orus to teira, and you will not become a nosi to teira. What it's about is something else. Where are you at in your mindset? When a person has to make a decision, what do I do this afternoon? It's not a question of whether it's mutter for me to do X or it's osser for me to do X. Because very often, you can work out a cheshbon that it's mutter to do X, and al pi din Torah, it could be you are right that it's mutter to do X. But if you are nosi to Torah, then there are other things that one takes into consideration. Then one takes into consideration the Ramban. Is it a question of whether it's mutter or it's asa? It's a question of whether if you do it, are you a tam v'yosho? Is this yashrus at this point in time? Or is this me looking at myself and my environment and my surrounding and making decisions and judging on the basis of something which has no shaychus to Torah, on the basis of a culture which has no shaychus to Torah, on the basis of an understanding which has no shaykhus with Torah. You go through this list. 300. 300 and something guys. There are guys, Rabbi Yisai, that I have to say to them, Shalom Aleichem, Meri V'Revi. There are guys that are Kulei Torah. But if you go through this list, and you say to yourself, how come that this guy is Kulei Torah, and how come the guy who was learning with the Chavrusa, and who worked with him 18 hours a day, and is today sitting and learning and saying the Shia? Why is he what he is and he what he is? The answer is very simple. Because one guy is an Oros to Torah. Because he can turn around to me after he's been learning in Kollel 8 years. And he can say to me, Rebbe, if it wouldn't be for the whack that my wife objects, nothing wrong with a joint now and again. You're a walking bookcase, but you're not Nosi L'Torah. But it's Chavrusa, who decided to throw away the culture, to throw away the Ashkofas Achayim. And the Kol Koyche, as Rashi says, to throw himself into Torah, he becomes the Emes Tikah Ben Torah. Bodek U'Menusa, proven. Go through the list. You will see. Those guys who became the Suim to Torah, they will be the Gedolei Yisrael of the coming generation. They will be the Gedolei Rosh Hashivas. They will be the Gedolei Arabon. The others will be very knowledgeable scholars of Torah, but not more than that.